Rap Sucks Radio. Blah, 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 blah.
What up? What up? Oh, man. What up, y'all? Yeah, you alive? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm constantly being reminded how important routine is in this time, every time.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the only one with routine. No one cares.
No one else. Doesn't
matter. Nobody cares.
Routine doesn't matter at all. Yo, what up, y'all? You alive on Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Track Life and your fam, Kev Sakota.
Almost right on time.
Almost. Well, you know what I'm saying. This is the In Here Tripping edition of Rap Sucks Radio, where we drop a new episode every day as opposed to once a week like we usually do. All for your quarantine, man. We doing this for you. This is hard work on your behalf. So thank y'all for tuning in. Please tell a friend to tell another friend to tell a friend after that. Check with us. And if you didn't catch this live, you can catch it on rapsucksradio.com tomorrow morning. It's like that. You know what I'm saying?
Roughly. So,
roughly, for the most part.
The other day, I put 5:30 p.m. and I realized about halfway through the morning.
All right, well, fair enough. You catch it tomorrow at some time. How about that? Yeah. We got a jam packed show, man. So we just gonna jump into it a little bit. Kev, I will, as always, ask, how was your day, man? What's going on?
All right. It's great.
Good. You get some drink in your system? Are you all right?
No. Actually, no. Ran out.
Oh, wow. Rationing. Wow. Yeah, not good.
Trying to keep the kids off the hydrochloroquine.
Good luck with that, man. Trump, you know, Trump's not gonna allow that for long. Speaking of allowances, this intro discussion, man, we talked about my brother yesterday. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to have to say his whole name, including title, this time around.
I know. I was interested to see how this was going to turn out today.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But check this out. I've said, what ocean? All right. So Africa will not be a testing ground for the vaccine, says the World Health Organization.
What's his name?
Well, my intro. Wait, first of all, my title for this is the doctor. That's right. Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus.
Not bad, considering Ghebreyesus? The fact that you fumbled on Director General going in.
I did. it was the setup, like knowing that at the end, you know what I'm saying, I had the huge mountain of his last name to climb. I fumbled on the setup. That's what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Ghebreyesus.
There you go. Ethiopian born.
That was super disrespectful. But,
yeah. Proud.
On a number of levels.
Proud black man, as he himself states, says Africa can't and won't be a testing ground for any vaccine. The doctor remarks during a TV debate. There were two French doctors that said that, hey, maybe it's a good idea to test all these vaccines on Africans. All right, so that was whack.
How'd that strike you?
Trash.
My African American friend.
I mean, you know what I mean? We just got to just go ahead and do my folks that way. Like, we just going to test on them again. Again, French. Again, French people. Chill out. Anyway, and they were accused of treating Africans like guinea pigs. One of them later even issued an apology, in spite of the fact that initially they tried to say it was fake news. They again and later apologized. When asked about the doctor's suggestion, my man, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, he became visibly angry, and he said, he called it a hangover from the colonial mentality, which I would happen to agree with. What up, Abloon? What's going on, brothers? And he said it was a disgrace, appalling to hear during the 21st century, to hear from scientists that kind of remark. We condemn this in the strongest terms possible, and we assure you that will not happen. I love those words. I don't know if even he can make those assurances at the end of the day, though.
They're going to try. Sounded like they, are they trying already?
Well, I mean, they're I'm only going by hearsay, but testing centers have been burned out in Africa. They're trying to keep a lot of Africans are trying to keep, Nigerians at least are trying to keep it out. So,
oh, those are testing centers that are being
initially burned. They were testing centers. Like nobody knew what this was, so they were like, "Yo, you know what I'm saying? Every time y'all come around here, y'all tripping. Burn it down.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Just." Burn it. You know what I mean? Get done with it.
For half a second, I was like, wait, where's that coming? Oh. Right.
Straight
Shout
up.
Out to Bernie.
Shout out to Bernie, man. Damn.
Yo. You know how dope it would be if he would have come out to that at every debate?
I would have loved it. I would have loved every second
rally.
Of it. I would have loved it. It would have been my moment in the sun because I'd have been like, I told you that this was a better thing than Shook Ones at this point in the time. Like, I would have loved it. moving on. How much do you know about music streaming and how it's connected to the record industry and being a former top level record exec?
As soon as I saw this, I was like, okay, so I know how this conversation is going to begin. So it's gonna begin by sucking, and it's just gonna keep sucking that much more as it continues. Now I know far less than I probably should, far less than you would expect me to. You, not anyone else, not the royal you. But a lot of people don't. A lot of musicians that are in the game right now don't know a whole lot about how it works. Or generally how publishing, masters, you know, performance royalties, how all that stuff works.
Right, right,
how
right.
Much how you're supposed to collect your money, how much you're supposed to get paid. Who knew? Who knew that music could be so complicated?
Well,
it's almost like healthcare.
It's sheesh, God, dude. That is actually a little too accurate for my comfort. No, I mean, and it's deliberately complicated because, you know, the music industry is just a trash industry as far as the payment of the creatives go. It's basically meant to undermine the creatives when it really comes down to it. Now, are there good parts or good people? Absolutely. Absolutely. They're without a doubt. Some of the probably, man, best people that I know have come through the music industry, like, just generally good people. But the industry itself was almost burnt down to the ground until Spotify kind of saved them. It wasn't Apple Music that saved them. It was actually Spotify. Spotify making direct deals with labels, giving them a piece of their stock in order to license. So with that being said, the title of this one is Face Down in the Music Stream. Shout out to my Outkast fans and my Goody Mob fans. The players involved in this are broke rappers and everybody else. So just to give you guys a note, last year or the year before, Drake had over 1 billion streams. It was close to 2 billion, maybe somewhere around 2 billion streams.
Was he the first artist to hit that mark or was it Bieber?
I don't know. That I don't know.
Okay.
But in spite of that number, he made $33 million. Now, that sounds like a lot. He was the highest paid person at the time. I feel like these are 2018 numbers. He was the highest paid person at the time from streaming. $33 million off of 2 billion streams. Now, here's the thing, though. That's not a lot. That's actually not a lot when you think of 2 billion streams. You know what I'm saying? So I brought up a point to my wife. Janet Jackson was the highest paid, had the highest paid contract for the Rhythm Nation record. So if you look, you can look back at this. And that's back when contracts were, when your contract was based on points, right?
Mm-hmm.
And points were basically pennies. And at 9 points, she was the highest, had the highest point collection of any artist at her time, of her time. So back then the record industry was giving an artist 9 cents per record. And they were coming out like Janet Jackson.
Per record or per dollar?
Cents per record. It was 9 cents per record. Now, correct. You got to, y'all fact check me. If it turns out 9 cents per dollar, then perfectly fine. But my understanding was per record. correct me, man. You the industry dude. You should know this.
Well, I'm not Janet's lawyer.
All right, fair enough. So that being said, though, 14 points ended up being the highest after that, and then deal structurally changed thanks to rap music. And now you skip ahead, and you have streaming. So I'm going to read y'all some numbers real quick and bore y'all with this, but I really want a lot of artists, DJs who are dealing with the copyright issues or what have you on Instagram and such to check this out. Per stream, I'll just read the top ones off. I'll read Apple Music, Spotify, and for the hell of it, I'll read off Tidal and YouTube. All right. Per stream, Apple Music pays 0.008 cents. Okay, so less.
Round it up.
right. Less than just basically a penny. Less than a penny. Tidal pays about a penny. Spotify pays 0.004 cents. YouTube pays 0.0006 cents. So you can see that how much you would need to stream in order to make any legitimate cash on your music. So these numbers are put together by DittoMusic.com, so you can check them out yourself. We'll post the figures up on, or post that article up on Rapsox Radio. But Kevin, hearing these numbers, like, you know, shocking, not shocking, like, what's up? What are we talking about right
now? I'm not shocked by it. I know the numbers were around there. The one number I didn't know was Napster, which was formerly Rhapsody. The legit subscription version of Napster pays almost 2 cents per stream, which is, is more than anyone else on this list.
Yep.
And I was actually a subscriber to them until not terribly long ago, just a couple, 2-3 years ago.
Really?
Because I had Rhapsody way back in the day when, you know, streaming had just started. They were like one of the first companies to do it. So I've been carrying the entire digital market
I think one of the reasons why I bring, well, that's kind of the reason why I bring this up. It's hard not to stream. I mean, I think it's kind of the easiest, maybe the best way music has been consumed in quite a while. And the reason why I say that is because it allows people to explore different types of music. It gives you an artist a chance to introduce themselves a lot easier to the world, if you will, right? Bandcamp does pretty well. There are a fair amount of ways to get your music out there. And hard copy sales haven't entirely died, but streaming is king right now. But my thing is, the label is making money. The platform is making money. And here we are again with the artist not making money. Like, did we really win in the end?
Is anyone arguing that?
No, I'm actually having a discussion. I kind of want artists to check in and just kind of hear this out. I'm not anti-streaming, by the way. I've made a little money. I'm talking like a little money, which, you know, money is money on stream, off of streams. So I'm not against it whatsoever. I'm just saying that the quest to change the game, you know what I'm saying? The internet, being able to start your own label and actively have an active reach with the people, your Facebook page, your Instagram page, your own website, your Twitter, just your direct connection to your fans, is producing less than a penny's worth of a sale. I mean,
right? But yeah, you know, and this is a piece of the puzzle that was, you know, when you talk about just the recorded music, that product, it was a much bigger slice of the whatever your income pie was 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Like selling CDs, selling vinyl, selling tapes, whatever it was, that physical product made up a larger percentage of your income. Now, like you said, and I don't know that it's that artists of any genre made a concerted effort to do this, but just because of the way the internet changed the music business, they were forced to hustle in a different way. labels were forced to hustle in a different way.
Right.
You know, and these new players, the streaming companies, came into the mix to sort of play a middleman in this technological role. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to hear the answer to your question in 6 months' time.
Okay.
Because now all these artists who, you know, unless you're a Drake, streaming is definitely, you know, part of what you have to do. And you have to spend a lot of time making the music, making sure it gets to the right place, making sure it's, you know, that all the bits and pieces of the business, the metadata, that the registration of the copyrights and your publishing, your, you know, your ASCAP or BMI is all set up properly so that you can collect on that money. But at the end of the day, it's a lot of work, and you turn around and it doesn't feel like a lot of money. And probably right. for most people, it isn't.
Right.
But you're doing that because you're going out, you're selling, you're going on the road, you're selling merch. You know, you maybe are doing other kinds of media on YouTube or whatever. You have all these different things that you're doing to create, you know, your brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
For lack of better terms. And I wish there was. But now you can't go on the road. So, you know, you may have been getting a large percentage of your ticket sales when you had tickets to sell, if you sold tickets. You may have been getting just about 100% of your merch if you were lucky and you didn't sign those rights away.
Right.
You know, but that's not happening anymore.
Nope.
You know? Right now. You know, it's been pretty decimated in terms of all those physical aspects of the music business, which have, you know, the labels like to talk about, romanticize how that's such an important part of that in-person experience, because that's one of the few things that, you know, can still be exploited, you know, because the record business was and is and probably will always be exploitive, you know, a little bit colonial, you know, a little bit culture vulture. Definitely, I think the word greedy
right.
can fit, you know, and then there's a bad side to the music industry as well.
After all that. True. All very true. All very interesting as well, because at the end of the day, I would think that all of these figures should be flipped around. The artist is taking about 30% of the profit off of a sale for a record. If they have a good deal. And a 360 deal takes away all of the other stuff that you just named. You go on the road, you sell your merch, you get on a television show, you right. you know, a 360 deal, which is commonplace for some of the larger artists, takes all of that, gives a piece of all of that away. So I just feel like the number should always be reversed. You know what I'm saying? That,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, but you know what I would
70-30
say
deal that was crazy.
Yeah, if it was you and me sitting in a room together and wasn't anyone listening, I'd probably be screaming at you right now, though. It is what it is. I mean, you know, it's just, it is what it is. If you are a Chance, the rapper,
mm-hmm.
or a Lil Nas X or whatever, and I don't know what kind of deal Lil Nas X signed. I hope he's not getting, you know, completely taken to the cleaners by whatever, you know, situation he's now in. I don't know if it's changed at all since he made that first song, but, and I don't know the ins and outs of Megan Thee Stallion's deal.
Right.
But, you know, what I don't like is that you get a situation like whatever she went through. And I don't know the ins and outs of her deal. I don't particularly understand exactly what's going on with her being popular.
Right.
But you know, then it comes up that she's upset, and it's, of course you're going to be upset if you think your money's getting taken or you're being taken advantage of. But then everyone goes from being an epidemiologist or a political scientist on social media to now becoming an expert in the record industry and what all these artists should know what it means to take an advance. It's like, yeah, they should.
Yeah.
Do you?
No.
Do you know what it means to do you not you personally?
No,
I'm just saying
I'm gonna,
that, you know, there's so many aspects to this industry, and the one thing I think it is fair to say is that there is not an incentive for the labels to demystify or simplify or streamline the mechanics of the way it's been set up. And this is going to sound a little conspiracy theory-ish if, you know, until you sort of dig into it, is that why would I make it easy for you to get your money?
Right. No.
Because to a large extent, for most of these artists, I'm giving you, I have a lot of money. I'm a label. I'm giving you a lot of money that I'm going to tell you is a roll of the dice.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen artists come along and get big. And I've seen a lot of artists come along, think they were going to get big and not do anything. So I know that I can wave a relatively big check in front of you, put you in the studio or whatever the case may be, let you, you know, give you enough money to live comfortably for a little while, get you out on the road, see what happens. And if you don't sell records and you're not a success, I'm gonna go to the next person.
Right.
Yep. But I have that freedom. You know. What the artists don't realize is that, you know, that's then coming out of whatever it is that's not their money. You know, and that's the issue, is that a lot of artists look at it as their money. And some artists are so great that they can actually live off of their advances. That's
right.
A very, very small percentage of those artists. And those artists are usually smarter than most of us.
Well,
so,
yeah, or well, you know. Well, I here's, okay.
And I'm talking about the princes of the world. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Guys who can, you know, build and then parlay all that financial situation, and they have the volume of musical, you know, output to be able to support that kind of a business.
So here's my I don't want to say counter, because I'm not countering them. It's more of an addition, partial kind of extra thought on it. So not every artist in the world is from the hood, right? But the dollar right. figure that's put in front of you most of the time at the age that you receive your first record deal is a it's more money than you're commonly just going to see. You know what I'm saying? Even an indie deal of $20,000 is like, okay, do I say no to $20,000?
Right.
I'm 24. I'll throw my situation out there. I'm 24, 25. I live in my sister's basement. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not making any income. Do I say no to $20,000 right now? That's at least something to live off of. Instead of the, you know, 25 cent burritos that I've been eating every day before I go do music with Bishop Lamont and we both share a burrito. Like, at the end of the day, you know, you look at the type of money that's offered and you say, and they say, man, artists are stupid for taking that money. I'm like, dude, that $20,000 is an indie deal. $25,000 is an indie deal. $150,000, you know, is a base level real record deal. You know what I'm saying? And some of these mm-hmm. artists are seeing $500,000 thrown in their face, depending upon the level that they reach. You know what I'm
sure.
saying? How easy is it to say no to that? It's just not that easy to be like, nah, I'm gonna walk away from that. Those that are ill enough to walk away from that, like, you have to give them a lot of credit for knowing their value. But I'm gonna tell you this, man, you and I both know people that have walked away from $20,000 and never seen that number again. That they yeah. bet on themselves and they bet wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Someone's either one party, at least one party in the deal is rolling the dice.
Right.
Usually both parties are rolling the dice.
Right.
And usually both of them don't know what they're doing. Don't really know exactly what they're about to get out of the deal.
It's a gamble.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, but it'd be one thing if you're walking. It's one thing if you're walking into a nice, luxury business tower record company office with floor-to-ceiling windows on the 25th floor overlooking Beverly Hills, you know, beautiful young women working there, good-looking men, music you love playing. They have pictures of artists that you love on the wall, and they are going to make you a star.
Yep.
And they put $50,000, or they put a check for $50,000 in front of you.
Yep.
That's a different context than if a guy down the block who might make his money in a different kind of way
mm-hmm.
comes to you with 50 grand in a paper bag and says, I love what you're doing. This is for you.
Right.
Now, if you are that person who's never seen that money before, you probably think about those two situations differently. But you know what? They're not that different.
They're the same. They're almost exactly the same.
So you actually have more control with the money in the paper sack.
You really do.
Over what you're doing.
You do.
So yeah, you can't be mad at it. But the one thing that I did love, and I don't have any factual firsthand data from anyone that I've known or talked to in the business, but maybe 4 or 5 years ago when the SoundCloud sort of, you know, lo-fi rap craze was going on, and I would assume it kind of still is in terms of the signing, but there was this frenzy of A&Rs trying to get the next Triple X or whatever, you know, was going to be out there. Little Pump, I think, was one of them, you know, and the thing, and I didn't like pretty much any of that music in particular, but the fact that there were guys who were seeking out these cats who were legitimately in, you know, holding the guns that they were holding in their videos. They might be selling drugs or they're doing drugs. And they were making the music on their laptop in their bedroom.
Yep.
Legit, you know, and it sounded like it.
Yep.
But they could sell records and they could get people listening. And they were going out there throwing $3 million at them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I started, I was like, okay, yeah. You know, let's go.
Yeah.
Especially if I don't know if I'm going to be around in a year and some of them aren't around anymore.
Mm-mm. Yeah, there's a,
you know, which
a large
is a whole separate conversation.
Right.
But yeah, man, you know, it's so in that way, those guys changed the game. Chance the Rapper is the other side of that. Almost the exact same dynamic.
Right.
But obviously a different, I think, you know, just a different person and different mindset toward the business and you know, sort of what he had his eyes set on. So,
well, I think one of the things is we discussed this long. You and I discussed this years ago, along with Silo and Dave McGriff, et cetera. Like, you know, a record loan is a record deal is a loan with a high interest rate.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. And it's unfortunate, in my opinion, it's unfortunate that that's still a thing. I just don't believe. You know, I think it's actually shaped how the fan views music. You see what I'm saying? Because think of all the dope artists, actual dope artists, you know, that weren't validated by a record label, so the fans don't think they're dope.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like the fan base now started to view artists from them being signed or not. And I'm like, yo, it's art. It's art. Do you like the song or do you not like the song? It's not about whether the artist is signed or not. So the record industry is not only shaped how we monetize music, but it also shaped how the fan views us as artists. To me, it's a total unfair thing. And the internet, and I'm of course not asking for handouts. If those who know me know, I worked very hard when I was doing music. But looking at it from the angle that I thought I perceived it was going to go, this breakdown of the record industry that happened post Napster was the saving grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? This streaming thing was supposed to be for the artist. It was supposed to be if this streaming thing goes for 99 cents, then the distributor, the middleman was supposed to take, let's say, 30%, and the artist takes 70, and we walk away with it. But these streaming platforms were basically bribed and bought out and got in bed with the record labels. So now we're doing this whole cycle all over again where you create, they get to be the person that owns all the outlets or is in bed with all the outlets, and now you don't get the front page of iTunes. You don't get the front page of Spotify. You don't get the front page of Bandcamp. You know, so it's crazy. It's a lot. It, to me, the whole thing is crazy. And to know that after that, you're only making like Traumatics just said in the chat, like, you know, a hundredth of a penny. It's like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing right now? And I'm gonna throw this out there, and we can move on after that because we far past the normal time. But for independent people who are doing independent records right now, and you're you may have moved on from your label or whatever the case may be, and I tell you this from experience. Right now, you call every quarter or every year or however you do it to get paid for the records that you sold. Hey, how much did I sell over the last year? Can I get a check for whatever, $50, $500, whatever my sales were over time, right? That's a deal. I got a call. I call Kev. Kev says, all right, man, I'll put together the numbers. I'm saying if you're the label. Kev says, all right, yeah, man, you made 400. It's a 50-50 split. Here's your 200. Walk away from that, right?
Right.
All right. 10 years goes by. Somehow, you're incapable of making that phone call for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Where do those checks go? Is the label going to call your kids and pay your kids your money? Have you thought about that? Like, I think about that every single day. That there could come a time when I'm incapable or whatever, incapable of making that phone call. Or the person I would make that phone call to is no longer around themselves. And now who pays? Who pays that college tuition money or that lunch money for my daughter's college? Like, things of that nature. These are things that artists aren't really ever privy to. There's money out there that artists are owed that they're never going to get paid because the arrangement is dead.
100%.
So
and what I think usually ends up happening 9 times out of 10, if not 99 out of 100, is that it's just two lawyers sort of exchanging checks again.
Again, right?
If you're big enough, what? Otherwise, it's you know, pennies that are swept under the rug,
right,
written off, or whatever the case may be.
So it's somebody else's grocery money.
Yeah, really, pick me up here today,
buddy. Well, I got you. On the way out, we'll go a little longer.
Well, this is the thing that I was going to ask about Napster, though, is that because I said half of it, but are they paying so much because? Is that like a punitive thing that they were forced to pay that much of what they had done before? Oh, okay.
No clue.
I didn't know.
That'd be something to look up. I have no clue on that, though.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting to know. You know what I'm saying? I do remember when they changed back to Napster for the popularity's sake, but I thought it was too late by then.
It was like about it's over 40 now. Years too late.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the last topic real quick. You know, sort of a little bit of pick me up. You guys may not know this. My title for this is "It Ain't No Thing," but maybe it is a thing, actually.
Hydrochloroquine?
The pandemic has caused a national surplus of chicken wings. The Root. I'm reading directly from The Root's title, by the way. TheRoot.com.
That's my favorite website.
It's hilarious. The pandemic has caused a national surplus in chicken wings that may go to waste, and we absolutely should not stand for it. So here's what happened according to the Washington Post. The NCAA basketball tournament is the second of two big annual events for chicken wings. The first is the Super Bowl. Wing prices and productions in predictable cycles each year, ramping up for the NFL playoffs and championship game in February, then again for college basketball's frenzy tournament a month and a half later. So prices are up, right, around the time. But with society on lockdown because of Corona and the NCAA tournament being canceled, that left a whole bunch of wings lying around, and now they're flooding the market. Ergo, we have a giant national surplus of chicken wings. What are we going to do about this?
Chickens are pissed right now.
Chickens are pissed. Right?
The chicken.
Is that what you played earlier?
Yeah.
The chicken.
Yes.
How much time do you spend every day coming up with the new thing you're going to
add? It only takes a couple minutes, man. It really only takes me a couple minutes.
What percentage of your total allocation of joy in the 24-hour cycle of your day?
Oh, my God. Probably like 72%, somewhere around there.
The chicken.
Just to say that.
These are important. These are important numbers.
Karen.
I mean, that one never goes away. Matter of fact, Traumatics in there. Traumatics, what up?
Karen.
He sprinkled the Mayan runs on there.
I know. Please don't. No video of you having chicken wings for dinner. Thank you, Traumatics. Word up. There is a need for us as a society to make sure that we do not allow these chicken wings to go to waste. All of those under the sound of Rap Sucks Radio voices, please make sure you go out and keep the chicken wings on top of the pile because we need them. They are for frat boys, black folks, everybody. We all need it. Make sure the chicken wings stay on top.
I made spam musubi today.
You did. Good job.
That's what it's come to. It was great.
I know it was. We have spam and it's backup food. My wife won't let us touch it. She's like, not yet. Just in case everything goes crazy.
All right. Oh, so is it a last resort for her? It's or is a last she resort. Saving it up for a special
No, it's last resort slash special. So, but we are going to make the Disneyland churros probably this weekend. You know about that? They released the recipe for their churros, and it's not that hard to make. So we're gonna make them at home.
Oh, okay. Didn't they? The schools released the recipe to the Friday cafeteria pizza too.
I hope not.
That sounds like a great. Just make both of those and just Mayan ruins all over them.
Burn it down, son.
It just works. It works. It just works.
Thank y'all for rocking with Rap Sucks Radio, man. We appreciate y'all spending some time with us. Please make sure we save the chicken wings. This is your homeboy Track Life and your fam, Caps Dakota. Catch us on rapsucksradio.com tomorrow. If you missed half a part of today's episode, you also can catch this live stream is for 24 hours, I think. I think you can go back and play it. So either way.
And this is the last episode of the week?
Last episode of the week. So yeah, you're right. So we will catch y'all Sunday night. Have a great weekend. On the count of three, we say peace. One, two, three.
Peace.
Peace.
The chicken. The chicken.